What will that amount be if you exceed your target?
Our new grants and contracts will reach about $16 million this year. A major factor in that is, I think some of you may have heard about, is a new research center for tsunami research that involves a collaboration between computer science and civil engineering to create the world's largest and most powerful tsunami simulator and connect it to the internet. And so it's a very interesting combination of technology and more of a new technology as well as traditional technology. That's one example. There are many other multi-million dollar grants that we've just received this year that compose that $16 million number.
Ron, I heard George say that they made available $290,000 worth of scholarships for approximately 107 students, and I gathered that was for all for engineering students, wasn't it, George? Yeah. So does Oregon State have anything comparable to that in terms of scholarships available for students to go to engineering?
On a grand scheme of things, we have approximately 300 engineering scholarships that are awarded each year that are targeted to engineering students. In addition to that, many of our engineering students also receive presidential scholarships. In fact, our engineering students tend to be very competitive in achieving those or being awarded those presidential scholarships. We also
indication of the students that are entering Portland State and Oregon State, are they basically Oregon students or from out of state or a mix of all of that?
I can speak for OSU. The majority of our students are Oregonians. One particular class of students that we're really focused on are what we call our top tier students. These are students that have a combination of an SAT greater than 1300 and a GPA greater than 3.9.
Okay.
2 years ago, we began a program focused on recruiting those students, added a new scholarship program, and we've grown the number of those students by about 40% since then.
And George nodded his head back there that similar. And fine, and we aren't going to get to work session on 5525 today, probably when Monday or Tuesday. It'll be after that, and so we may want to get you back. And Granton or Linda, I'd like to hear from University of Oregon on their computer science program, or anything that was connected with or thought to be an opportunity as a result of Senate Bill 504 of the 97 session, when you're trying to do exactly what I see Portland State and Oregon State are doing in undergraduate engineering. See, Ron, you don't offer any graduate degrees in engineering?
We do. We offer graduate degrees in virtually all fields of engineering.
All fields of engineering?
Yes.
George, what about Portland State?
Yeah,
please come in here and identify yourself. And I'm interested in the graduate degrees that I know OGI only has graduate degrees. Isn't that right? No undergraduate degrees?
Okay. Mr. Chair, that is correct. OGI is completely a graduate program at master's and doctoral level. We offer bachelor's, master's, and doctorates in certain disciplines. Okay. Oregon State has even more doctorates than we do, so they have a more complete list.
Okay, any other questions or for the...
No, I'm impressed by the fundraising ability.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's what we did with, or we hoped we were going to do with the funding model last session, to make you more entrepreneurial and get out there and raise funds. And I know University of Oregon's Foundation and Oregon State's and Portland State's have done a good job. And I think you can expect to have some really great successes when you point to the programs that you have. There are people like to give. I mean, if they're going to give to programs that are very successful. And sure, it looks to me like you're heading in the right direction, or the direction that we intended with Senate Bill 504 and ETIC and all of the great support from the private sector. Senator Cole.
I was wondering, Mr. Adams, Dean Adams, what's the plan for raising the rest of the money for your facility? Apparently, we've got about half of it raised privately. Is there a plan for bonding for part of it? What do you see as the rest of the funding mechanism?
The capital plan that was submitted to the governor includes bonding and
what we've been reviewing or not.
Senator Hartung, Senator Tro. When the question was...
Is it embarrassing?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I'm just trying to keep straight the three lists, talking about the three lists that Steve handed out earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The governor's budget did not include any projects that requested general fund, except for the system-wide. So when we were requested to present on each campus top priority, Oregon State had a tough call to make. They elected to make the Snell Hall demo and replacement of the Student Services Center a smaller project in concept, and one where we had F bonds from student building fee and gifts and G bonds. The research facility that Oregon State is proposing to build here, of course, is a very high priority for them and for us. Just refreshing my memory on exactly, our initial request was $10 million of general fund and $10 million of G bonds matched with $20 million of gifts.
So that's the way the proposal is.
Our initial request, our agency request, yes, sir.
Is it expected that the additional money that's in the governor's budget for engineering, for higher ed, and Oregon State's portion of that would go into any of the capital construction that's involved here, or is that for something else?
Senator Hartung, Senator Tro, members, we would not be in a position to offer up the general fund dollars in the operating budget that you would be providing the Oregon University system to go against a capital construction project. There are different authorities, different statutes, different processes.
That. I think what I'm asking is, in the extra money that's going, that the governor's recommending anyway in his budget for engineering, that additional money, is any of that additional money going to be used for capital construction on any of the campuses?
Senator Hartung, Senator Tro, no.
Okay, so that's just for program expenses.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's not clear, and I think we need to know that. So if we're going to find the money for these capital construction projects, we're going to have additional general fund to match with bonding.
Senator Hartung, Senator Tro, our initial agency request did call for general fund. We are striving to find alternative funding approaches in order to preserve this facility in our... at least in our bond bill, and I imagine that the work session will make it possible for us to discuss alternative approaches.
So there may be some alternatives.
We hope so.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. George,
thank you.
Ron, thank you very much, and Linda and Grant, when we get into work session, if someone from the University of Oregon thinks they have a report that they should give to this committee that's comparable or connected with engineering, we'd like to hear from them.
Mm-hmm. To their heart and be very happy to do so.
In the meantime, proceed.
Okay. The next project we wanted to bring to your attention is Southern Oregon University Library Addition and Remodel. I'd like to ask Bruce Motes, Director of the Fiscal Plant, to join us.
Yes. Good afternoon, Senator Hartung and committee members. My name is Bruce Motes, and I have the privilege of serving as plant director and facilities planner at Southern.
I wanted to start with slide 63, which is a summary of the project very briefly. The library at Southern Oregon University is about half the size that it needs to be for its current enrollment and operations. It's really terribly crowded and not in a modern condition. The proposal Southern is bringing to us would remodel the existing building, 40,000 square feet of assignable space, that's interior use space, maybe 70 gross, and add a 58,000 square foot addition, three stories, that would double the space and would permit them to house their special collections in properly ventilated and cooled areas, give them some group study room and some distance education facilities. Slide 64 describes the funding originally included in our agency request, $10 million of C-bonds, matched by $10 million of general fund and $800,000 of gifts, or 20.8. The pictures we were able to select for you show the current facility and its main entryway. Off to the right of this building is a sort of open plaza area where the addition would go. inside, and I'm sorry for the quality of the picture, but I'm trying to show there that the first floor of the library has no longer any reading room space. They've completely taken it up with computer labs, and all of those are in use very much of the day as it is. The second slide shows the only classroom that Southern has in its library. This happens to be in the government documents section, and they are teaching a class in the use of government documents. Southern Oregon is the repository, the Western repository for government documents. If I haven't taken up all your steam, Bruce Modes.
Thank you. As Linda's introduction suggested, our problem and challenge can be simply described as that we're out of space. Out of space for books, out of space for teaching locations, out of space to accommodate the growing need for technology, and out of space for people. Yesterday you were provided among the mountain of materials that you receive a small brochure that makes the case for the expansion of the library. And if I may just embellish without reading that whole thing to you, certainly the highlights that emphasize the points I was trying to make. In the case of books, if you can think back to a facility that was designed and built in the late 1960s, in the intervening years, the number of bound volumes has grown by a factor of five, the number of journals has doubled, and the number of government documents to be housed has increased 15-fold. In the case of teaching space, the picture indicated the cramped condition we have in the one classroom space, which entertains several hundred classes a year involving thousands of students. And they learn such things there as how to conduct searches on the Internet, how to create web pages, and how to research the many databases that are now available in our society. As far as technology, every institution, almost every activity of our society these days demands more technology. In the process of trying to provide those needs to our students, we have taken away almost all of the group study areas that used to exist. The periodical reading room, for example, is now confined to a very small corner on one floor. In the case of people, our enrollment in the late 60s was around 3,800 headcount, and today we're around 5,800. The library is to serve as a place, as sort of a sanctuary for students and faculty, and more importantly, places to gather and contemplate work privately or in group situations, and we simply have very little of that left with the other demands for the space that we have. So I appreciate this opportunity to comment on our project and appreciate that whatever support can be arranged.
Is your the new library or the addition already designed and ready to go?
Senator Hartung and committee members, what we have done is engaged a firm from Portland Opsis Architecture, whose members had various experience with different libraries, such as the Law Library at the U of O. We engaged them to take us through what we call program refinement, but the result of that has been a fairly detailed floor plans. The one rendering that you may have noticed in the booklet is of the east elevation of that proposed addition, and we've carried to that point, including a preliminary cost estimate, which helps us to corroborate the amount that has been requested.
And I assume the new design takes advantage of all the new technology available in this new century, and wouldn't it be fair to say you don't necessarily need as much floor space to have access to the information that you need with the new technology? Is that a fair statement?
I think it's a fair statement, yes, sir. And I anticipate as design would be allowed to proceed, we'll have other factors to consider, such as the new energy standards that we now have to comply with.
Okay, thank you. Questions or comments?
One question.
Yes.
These government documents that you store here, are they state or federal?
Primarily federal.
Are you paid by the federal government to store those documents?
I'm sorry, I don't know the detail on that.
I would think that would be important.
Yeah.
I will certainly find out for you, Representative Smith.
I would think that if you were charged with that huge responsibility, that there would certainly be compensation to go along with it. It could help either pay for your staff to manage the documents and or its space.
Senator, we'll look at that information. Granton, will you dig that out? Because I know Senator Cho and I were involved with Oregon State University's new library, and all of those things, just like Representative Smith mentioned, are a factor in operating. Okay, any other questions or comments? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Linda?
Our final campus project proposal is Western Oregon University. The number one project there is to remodel the former library for a student administrative service center. This is the third campus project that was asking for a centralized student administrative services center and classrooms. Slide 68 shows that the current need is to extensively remodel Western's former library. They received a combination of gifts, G-bonds, to build a new library which opened last fall, leaving them with this large, older facility that now needs extensive remodeling in order to make it a really useful student administrative center, classrooms, and faculty offices. It's five stories. There's no elevator in the building, and to provide it is several hundred thousand dollars. There's poor energy conservation issues that have to be addressed in that building. So Western's proposal is to remodel the facility and to pull together in one location their various functions relating to admissions, advising, and the music department classrooms, as well as general purpose classrooms and faculty offices. Slide 69 shows the request, $2.5 million of G-bonds, matched with that may be an error on my part. I believe that must be a general fund request. I apologize for the error on the slide. Slide 70 is a photograph of the entrance to the former library at Western. Joining us now is a representative from Western Oregon University, Mr. Darrell Zehner.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Senator Hartung and members of the committee. My name is Darrell Zehner, and I'm the Director of Auxiliary and Physical Plant Services at Western Oregon University. As Linda indicated, with completion of our new Hammersley Library, our former library is now vacant. Instead of showing you a picture of the interior of the building, please picture this room void of furniture, chairs, filing cabinets, people with the lights off and the doors locked. That's pretty much what the various empty rooms in the building look like. This is a 40,000 square foot facility containing five levels with numerous large open areas. The building is structurally sound and is an excellent candidate for renovation rather than simply sitting vacant. This building will require energy efficiency and building code and fire life safety updating, as well as installation of an elevator to provide unrestricted access. Faced with cramped classrooms, we continue to utilize modular buildings which were purchased in the mid-80s to temporarily meet our increasing classroom needs. Unfortunately, these buildings have now far outlived their useful life, requiring constant maintenance and repair. We also have situations where up to six faculty are utilizing a single office space that is not much larger than a closet. And in some buildings, students vie for upfront seats, and that's unusual in a lot of classes, in order to avoid sitting behind support posts and converted basement classrooms. We see a real opportunity by renovating the former library to be able to meet our need for much-needed classrooms, faculty office space, and consolidation of several student administrative areas into a convenient, efficient, one-stop location. These support services include such areas as the admissions office, academic advising, and the student tutoring center, among others. Finally, conversion of the former library, which is located within the campus academic core zone, is in keeping with our 10-year master plan and is a cost-effective approach to helping meet our academic and student support facility needs. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Comments? Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, I think that concludes the presentation of campus projects. You also heard the student projects. I'm looking at the clock.
Yes.
And you did want to work Senate Bill 327.
Yes, we do.
May I ask, Mr. Chairman, if it would be possible that when we do return to the committee to work 525, which I understand will be some time,
yes,
that we actually put the remainder of the capital construction presentation at that time and then go to work session so you'd have both the presentation and the work session co-joining? Would that be possible?
Sure.
All right. That that would then allow
us... See how reluctant we are, but so you better do it right.
Mr. Chairman, the reason I say that is that I wouldn't want to
have the second piece of that presentation made now and then wait 10 days or 2 weeks or however long it may be, and then come cold to the issue.
Tell me again what the second part of 5525 is.
That's the second half of Linda's presentation regarding the presentation. I don't know how much time you think.
Well, what is it? I mean, what is the second half of the presentation? What's it cover?
It covers, excuse me, Senator Hartung, members of the committee. I really only barely had begun the overview of the series of requests that we wanted to bring before you concerning the deferred maintenance, code, capital, repair, and modernization, combining with our findings from our major study on space utilization and also on our campus master plans to give you some background for the general set of issues that we face.
Okay, well, I think it would be appropriate to put it off until we get, just prior to going to work session, to make sure that it's a good, clear, and short presentation.
Senator Hartung, I should be happy to do that.
We'll work together to make sure that that would fit at the top of a single session in order to get that presentation prior to you working to work session. So
okay.
I don't think it would require an extra session.
So we want to close 5525. Can we close 5525 now and move to a public hearing and possible work session on Senate Bill 327?
Mr. Chairman, I've got a letter which was left by one of the representatives from Southern yesterday from regarding 327, and asked me to submit it. I'm about to read it.
It's for your file.
Okay. Thank you.
And I don't believe Linda completed her presentation of the slides on 327.
No, she did not. No, no, no.
Then
and we have a replacement on that one, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Members of the committee, for the record, I am Linda Swanson, Director of Capital Construction, Oregon University System. Yesterday's presentation was by representatives of three campuses who gave you brief summaries of important projects to be funded by the student building fee. I now wish to go back and cover, as shown on slide 2, the following topics. What is the student building fee? How does a project receive support from the student building fee debt service reserve? What is the increase we are proposing in SB 327? What would be the consequences if it is not passed? And what building fee projects have been proposed, some of which you heard yesterday? As I had hoped to go over in the capital budget presentation, but I hope it will not be too confusing. One of the three types of categories in the Oregon University System, besides education and general facilities, besides traditional auxiliaries, are student auxiliaries. They include student unions, recreation and fitness centers, child care centers, in general, facilities that are solely for the use of students and which facilities are self-supporting. They represent 1.2 million gross square feet on all of our seven campuses, about 7% of the total space we have. As you know, they are eligible for Article 11 F1 bonds where the debt service is defrayed by the student building fee. The operating budget also does not receive any funds from the general fund because it is supported by incidental fees. Slide 4. What is it and how is it used? It is an assessment in addition to tuition. That is per student per term. Its sole purpose is to cover debt service on Article 11 F1 bonds. There is no cash available. It is not a cash fund. It is a debt service reserve. Bonds that we sell would be are only to be used to finance approved student facilities projects. They may be new construction, they may be renovation, they may be energy conservation projects, various types of things. However, the student building fee does require legislative approval, as does the major projects, just like any major capital construction project. The fee was initiated in 1963 and was raised in 75, 89, and 97. The student building fee is not an operations fee. It is solely a debt service reserve to repay F bonds. Slide 4 walks us through quickly the process for any campus requesting a project to be funded by this fee. As was discussed yesterday with several students, each student government organization on each campus is involved as part of the master planning of all the facilities needs on that campus. And the students review, they identify needs and they review them and recommend priorities to their president. This is stipulated in OAR 580, 010, 0100. The campus presidents review these lists. They are not bound by them, but generally they are very supportive of what the students wish to do. But it is the campus presidents who then forward that list to the chancellor's office for inclusion in our capital budget. The legislative process then ensues, and we bring the projects before you as well as the fee increase. Separately, as with all our capital construction projects, there is a bond bill that is would be coming through the legislature, and each project that seeks an F bond, authorization for those F bonds is then included in the request for the total F bond amount in that bill. So what is the proposed increase that we are putting forward in SB 327? Currently, each student each term is assessed $25 for a regular term or an equivalent amount if it's a semester. It's been a little bit complicated. Basically, $25, and our request is for a maximum amount of $20 more to go up in two stages. One $10 increase in 0103, and a second $10 increase in 0305. This would cover the set of needs that all seven campuses have identified in their campus master plans and which the students have given their request for priority. It covers such things as the deferred maintenance and capital repair and code that was described at Dixon Rec Center and Portland's Smith Center. It covers the modernization of existing space, as is also most projects involve a combination of these kinds of needs. It provides almost a doubling of space at some of these campuses because the enrollments are an important driver in the need for student facilities. And because students now arriving at campuses are used to having more than just a small weight room where they lift weights, they are used to having ventilation in those weight rooms in addition. So there's a student demand for these facilities. Slide 7 explains what the consequences are if we do not fund this request. We have debt service capacity that is a consequence of our level of enrollment that we are achieving. We could add another $15 million, and that would be all that we could provide. Unfortunately or fortunately, almost all of that $15.2 million is already committed. In other words, without another increase, we would be able to completely fund the Portland State project and half of the Dixon project that was presented to you yesterday. But that is all we could fund. We could not fund any other projects at any other campuses, nor any of the other projects at Portland State and Oregon State. And it would be many years before additional debt service capacity would be available. So what are the consequences of funding the request? If we are permitted to increase the fee by $10 next biennium, it would generate an additional $40 million in 0103, and because of enrollment, an additional 12 and a quarter in 0305, and that is all that that would support. However, if you are able to support an additional $10 increase, we would be able to cover projects listed in 0305, 05, and 0507 in our capital program, which I believe is contained in the three-ring white binder that Steve provided you yesterday. So it's this. We did 10-year campus master plans, We're revealing them in the six-year capital program, the campus's priority projects for the student building fee, and only their priorities are included there. And these fees would permit us to carry out the great bulk of all those projects identified. Slide 9 shows that in 0103, in the governor's budget for 11F1 bonds for student auxiliaries, $52.6 million is included. It would cover a recreation center, 4 student unions, 2 child care projects, 1 student services project, that's the one at Oregon State, and another small project. These funds would be repaid by that student building fee. It's a very detailed list and complex to describe, but I did give you yesterday table of contents by board priorities and another one sorted differently by category and campus, and you can see there each one of those projects, and you can find a full description of each project if you are interested. We did review the only 3 of the projects listed for want of time, but of course we could have gone on for the entire hour describing them. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have about them.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sure the committee is thankful that we didn't. Let me add a couple of things to the record, Grant and Karen's Oregon University system. As you've heard, and you've had some testimony delivered from student government associations, they are in favor of the fee. We changed the law in Chapter 351 in 1997 when we last visited this, in order to require direct student government involvement in the development of the list and to also ensure that the proceeds are directed only to student projects of their choosing. We agreed to that. The Oregon revised statute reflects that, and our administrative rules carries that out. That process has been used in the intervening years to develop this continuing list, and the student governments that are involved in that feel fairly good about that. In working with them and also with the Oregon Student Association, looking forward, a $10 increase in the coming biennium followed by a $10 increase in the next biennium represents a significant increase in the only fee which is statutory limited that the board has authority over. And we visited with those student governments and representatives to find out how they felt. And I said the student governments felt they were satisfied that the fee should be levied in order to create the fund to take care of their project. However, when we do get to work session, there is an amendment which reflects a series of discussions and negotiations between various student government and association representatives, which the university system has agreed to, which would further provide student input as this new fee is levied and as new projects are financed, and we are in agreement with that amendment. The Oregon Student Association, to my understanding, is not opposed to the increases in this fee. I believe one of the representatives is here if he wishes to speak, but I know from our discussions of the amendment that they are satisfied with it.
We would like to hear that from the horse's mouth. John.
And here's the horse.
Yes.
Chair Hartung, members of the committee, for the record, I'm John Wyckoff, Legislative Director of the Oregon Student Association. And let me just quickly tell you how we came to where we are now. And Gretchen is absolutely correct. We are essentially neutral on this increase. Originally, the Oregon Student Association had voted to sort of support the first year of or biennium of the increase, and then come back next biennium to look at whether we wanted to support the second part of this. The reason being is that we were concerned at what the level of the tuition increase might be. But I think we have come to a resolution on this that will allow both of us to sort of to get a chance to come back and talk about that. And you know, it sounds like the question has come up of students supporting increases in fees like this, but having concerns about tuition increases, and I wanted to get a chance just to clarify that quickly.
It's a good idea, and I hope Senator Miller is...
The students are very clear on the difference here, in that when a fee like this building fee goes up, you can point to what the new additions to your campus are. When the student fee goes up, you get a direct service, new services you didn't have before. And I think, unfortunately, right now, under the current budget being proposed, you could be looking at a situation where the possibility of 2-4% tuition increases, but there would still be services cut from the university system. So you'd, in fact, be paying more to get a bit less. This isn't to denigrate the value of the tuition subsidy and what the legislature has put into tuition, because we obviously appreciate that. But I think the concern and what may have been misunderstood yesterday is when you get in a situation where you're being asked to pay more in the instructional fee, but there will be cuts made. You'll be receiving fewer services. And with this fee, that simply won't be happening. Students will be asked to pay a little bit more over the next two biennia, but will be getting services they did not have through the new facilities being built. So I hope that helps to clarify a little bit of what was said. It doesn't. You're shaking.
Oh, I understand what you're saying, but I don't agree with you necessarily. The fact that you're going to have to pay more tuition means that you're going to have a poor quality of instruction, is what I hear you saying. That's how you're justifying imposing a fee on yourself, because the building or whatever you're going to get is going to be brand new and state of the art. You know?
Well, Chair Hartung, for example, when the OUS proposal for tuition was to have 2.5% increases, which of course which we did support, because that went on top of the current service level. Because these increases are sort of falling below the current service level under the governor's proposed budget, we have concerns that there will have to be cuts within the university system. And so we, of course, support any money that goes to keep down the cost of tuition and appreciate any dollars that go there. But when the students pay $10 for a new facility, there won't be cuts made somewhere else because of general fund money, in the example of instructional fees being pulled out on the other end, is sort of how the students look at it.
I understand what you're saying. Any other questions? Oh, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On page 10 of your handout, the U of O Children's Center, I have a question. It says, create new central location for care of children from non-traditional and graduate families. I'm wondering if you can define what non-traditional means, and does that mean that traditional families are not included in this?
Chair Hartung, Representative Post, no, it does not mean that traditional families are not included, just that there are single parents who are going to school, and they fall into that group of non-traditional parents. And they would have the opportunity to have a location for their child care activity as well. That's all. That was just that.
Certainly,
since one who is very interested in child care, I think the students know that.
You do.
And it's an issue that we've talked about for two biennia. I appreciate the remodeling that would take place at the Memorial Child Care. Has there been any discussion among the students or any proposals we had talked about last session to try to have that available at most of the campuses? And since you're talking priorities, and was this a part of the priority list discussion?
Chair Hartung, Representative Winters. In this respect, are you talking about facilities?
Yes.
And not as programming?
Yes.
It depends on the campus. Different campuses go through a process where they do where they look at different proposals. I'm going to use Eastern Oregon as an example, because that's a campus where they looked at I know their student government anyway looked at a lot of different alternatives, and the one and what they had looked at or that thought would work best for that campus would to be to use facilities that were in the community and to try to find a way to give sort of vouchers to use the existing facilities in the community. So it depends, I think, on the campus. I think at some there was a feeling that there was a need for facilities. And a page is being put in front of me. It seems that at PSU, Southern, and U of O, they all of those campuses looked at child care facilities.
Portland State and U of O and
Southern Oregon.
And Southern Oregon.
Yeah.
Because as I understand, that was a big, big issue when I talked to students last session.
In fact, we will have in the next couple of days a report on this very subject and on the that we will have to all of you on what facilities are available and what we see as the needs that you will all be getting very soon.
Just wanted to make sure that priorities were being put in place and that these discussions were held. You know, when you come to me and ask me for these other dollars to support it, I want to make sure that that piece on your part is also taking place, because it is, as you tell me, it's a growing population, it's a growing need for post-secondary students that they do have this service available to them, and I agree. But I also want to make sure that that's a part of your priority list when you're making your recommendations to the system.
Who wrote slide 19? I have a question about the wording. Well, anyway, that proposal, and then the first bullet there, would it be correct if it said, create new central location for all children of families attending the University of Oregon? That would conclude.
Senator Hartung, yes, it would.
That would cover what you have in mind. I mean, to take care of the traditional, the non-traditional, and undergraduates and graduates and nuclear families or whatever.
Mr. Chairman, that is
all
correct.
The children.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct.
Okay.
Of the students on campus.
Maybe yes. You should say the children, because my guess is you won't be able to take care of all of them, but maybe you will. All is a big word.
Yeah, it is. Well, you see what we're interested in, so you can develop some language for us. Any other questions or comments?
They took care of all of them. I'd be happy.
I would, too.
Yeah, right.
Mr. Chairman, we have in earlier rounds completed some child care facilities. OIT was completed with the funds available under the 1997 increase in the fee, and I know that the other campuses are studying them. We have new projects coming forward.
OSU has had one for 10 years.
Yes. So we're...
Senator Stratton, yes. Could you get me a list of those who do not have?
Mr. Chairman, we will.
Thank you.
Okay, I think that we're ready to move to the work session portion of Senate Bill 327. So I'll close the public hearing, and we'll go to a work session on 327. And I think we have some amendments to consider. And if you'll read those, and then Grant, and tell us whose amendments are these? Are those yours? Okay. Grant, tell us what these amendments do and why we need them.
Mr. Chairman and members, as I said in the testimony in the hearing, it is always a concern of those who will pay the fee to make sure that the fee is used appropriately and that student involvement in the construction of these projects and the development of the list for the next round continues to be a collaborative process between student governments and campus administrations. So I wrote, council brings back a version of the language which Mr. Bender and I gave them, and it's been endorsed by the student association and by the student governments that have been involved, and simply says that the State Board of Higher Education will report to this committee, in effect, the appropriate legislative committee, so that the Ways and Means Committee Education Subcommittee would hear a report from the board how the building fees permitted by the section and the the use of those funds, the projects begun or contemplated for construction, and that we do that in consultation with the campus student government organizations, so that those are the same groups that go through the process to recommend the projects would then go back and we'd discuss that. It would then be delivered to you early in the session so that in the event, we certainly don't anticipate it, in the event there were some concern, then there would be ample time for some positive action to be taken if the second one was not desired by the folks who would pay for it. Otherwise, if the report were satisfactory, the second fee would then go into effect directly as contemplated in Senate Bill 327. So you'd have a $10 increase in this biennium, $10 in the next biennium, and an interim report on how the projects were being developed and the process being used. And we are agreeable to the language. We accept that language.
Okay, any questions about, yes, Representative Hobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sure this information was given to us before, and I want you to know it's the only detail I have forgotten. How much money does the $10 generate?
How much money does it generate?
Right, the increase, $10.
Oh, in the, excuse me, Senator Hartung, committee members, the...
or the 20, and I can divide it by...
This morning I went back to get that exactly right. I'm looking for the slide in which it is. Let's go. Slide 7 and 8. The first $10 increase would provide, in 0103, an additional $40 million of projects that could be supported by the debt service, and in 0305, $12.25 million.
How much?
$12.25 million.
Hey, you know, that run through that again, Linda, Steve, because it's a little confusing.
It's a very confusing topic.
Yes, it is. Steve, you explain it to us as you see it, and then we'll try Linda again.
Okay. Mr. Chair and Representative Hobson, the fiscal impact that we see of this increase is that the $10 increase that would become effective on July 1st would raise about $3.8 million. In additional fee revenue during the 2001-03 biennium. On July 1st of 2003, the fee would go up to a $20 increase over the current law level, and for that second biennium, the increased fees would be approximately $7.9 million.
Is that adding the two together?
Adding the two together. The higher numbers that Ms. Swanson...
Excuse me, let me... That amount, that's the what can be serviced, the amount of building.
That's correct.
Okay, excuse me.
That's the amount, the numbers I gave were the amounts of additional dollars students would be paying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The amount that OUS was talking about was the additional bonds that could
the
be
bond
used.
Capacity.
The cost of that additional income stream.
And Steve, would you mention what that additional bonding capacity is? $40 million the first year and then $12.25 million the second year?
I believe that it is $40 million the first biennium, and then in the second biennium, it's a total of
it adds 12.25 in the second.
So 62.
Isn't it?
$62 million.
It doesn't seem like the second $10 buys.
No.
It doesn't buy that.
That's what I was asking.
Yeah, why is that?
No, the first $10 increase, if we had no second $10 increase, we would still get an additional. I'm not talking revenues. I'm talking projects supported.
Yeah.
The capacity to support projects with only one $10 increase would result in $40 million in 0103 and 12 in 0305.
Oh, just with one tenth.
Okay.
I thought that was the second ten. No.
Okay.
You get with the second ten.
And with the second ten,
that's bullet number
which
two.
Doesn't come into play until 0305, does not. We wouldn't be charging it until 0305, so we wouldn't be receiving revenues until then. So we couldn't have bonds sold until then. But that second would be incremental projects of $62 million.
And so that brings a total of 62.4
plus 4
available in the
plus 40
plus 12
in 507 is right.
Can,
which yeah. is if Mayor may clarify, that would be a total of about $125 million
yeah.
dollars.
Wow.
Of well, project of project that,
that
could
be services serviced with the student fees.
The debt service for these projects involves the following. We are required to keep a $2 million cash reserve. That's $2 million we have to have in case not a single student enrolls.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have that. We have a old projects that we're still, for which we're still paying the debt service. Some of those die each year. We pay them off each year. That affects our incremental capacity. Other projects are coming on. The second thing that affects the capacity is the enrollment level. And so the revenues generated are in part associated with enrollment increases that are going from 62 to about 73 over those 62,000 to about 73,000 over those 10 years in our calculations. The third thing that affects how much we can support is the cost of the bonds. We don't know, but we've been very conservative in forecasting this set of projects.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
what percentage of your bonding that you're required to put in reserve?
$2 million is an amount that is in the sinking fund that cannot be touched.
But it's based on what percentage?
I don't believe it's not calculated as the basis of percentage. It's calculated as a raw amount, $2 million. It's not a floating amount.
So regardless of how much your capacity is, it's always 2 million?
Well, the 2 million is, how can I phrase this? It's placed in the sinking fund as a cushion.
That I understand.
Right.
But it has to be based on something.
Well,
you know, if I had 200 million, how much would it be?
I'll have to get you a letter from the controllers because that's deep in the technicalities
yeah.
of the bill.
Yeah, that's very important.
Okay.
Okay, further questions about the Dash 1 amendments? I would accept a motion to adopt the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 327. Senator Trowell moves that we adopt the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 327. Is there any objection?
You want to object?
This is on the Dash 1?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll object to it.
Okay. Let the record show there was one objection. Otherwise, so.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair, I'm sorry.
Sure.
This is checking with the student organizations, right? That's the Dash 1. I am in favor of that. I apologize.
Okay. All right. We'll do the vote again without objection. We will adopt the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 327. Now,
are there other amendments you intend to this bill?
I'm not aware of any. Grant,
Chair, I move to send the bill as amended to the full Ways and Means Committee of the Newcastle.
Senator Trowell moves that we send the Senate Bill 327 as amended to the full Ways and Means Committee with the DuPass recommendation. Is there discussion? And there is one objection. One objection only. So
can I offer my explanation?
Sure. Let me get it passed first, and then you can.
It's discussion.
Discussion on the motion. Do it. I thought you were going to explain your vote.
Thank you. I see that there is this need to fix the buildings. I support that, but I do not want to do it through a fee increase on the students. We have more money in our budget than we've ever had. We have more than we had last biennium. And I think we could do this with existing revenues by not funding new programs and not giving old ones 9 and 12% increases, which is what's going through the floor right now. I don't think the taxpayer should have to fund another taxpayer's child care either. This is an issue that has been stuck in here at the fees. I don't think it belongs there. I don't think the state should be doing this. Somebody has to pay. And if the students want to voluntarily give the money to the building fund, great. But I cannot mandate it.
Thank you. Shirley, let's call the roll because we have two members excused. And the motion is that we pass the amended Senate Bill 327 to the Full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Votes no.
Aye.
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 Aye. Motion is passed. So we need a chair to the full. Yeah, review it to the full, the Senate,
and the House,
and the House representative members. Any other business?
No further business.
There's no further business to come before this committee. We are adjourned.